Welcome back to another episode of the Drunk Bond Podcast. Solo edition. The third solo edition. With your host, James St. John Smythe. Today we'll be discussing The Man with the Golden Gun. A wonderful movie. But first off, we got some podcast news. We're bought out. We're going corporate, bitches. The guys from the Rocky series podcast, Ryan and them, asked us to be part of this. It's called the, let's see, oh boy. Last Action, probably should have looked this up before I did this. Last of the Action Heroes Podcast Network. It's a conglomerate. Ever heard of it? So now we're part of their network. I know what you're thinking. Yeah, they probably never heard the show. They just, these first two jerk-offs that they looked at. Let's just get James Bond in the next. But they got Sylvester Stallone in there, Rocky. They got Arnold Schwarzenegger, Bruce Willis. All the staples. Charlton Heston, Douglas Fairbanks. I don't know. Morgan Freeman, Gene Kelly, Ernie Kovacs. I think they got some people. Just as long as they don't stifle my creativity, you know. The creativity of getting drunk and cursing about a movie. Genius, genius, genius. So we'll probably get from, you know, go from about six listeners to, nine listeners. Six to nine. But whatever happens, you know, you're asking yourself, what's going to be the future? Now that you got bought out, what's going to happen now? Well, in no way will we give back to the community. I promise you that. That's my promise. But no, appreciate them bringing us on. We'll see how it goes. And we're doing new episodes now. That's all we can be thankful for. This is the third. At least 10. Maybe we'll see how it goes after that. Currently, I'm drinking a vodka lemonade. It's a homemade lemonade. When was the last time you made homemade lemonade? It's wonderful. Simple syrup, lemon juice, and water. It's kind of the nut I am. I actually, whenever a lemon's about to go bad, I freeze the in cubes. And they're ounce cubes. I always have fresh lemon juice in my freezer. So I always have fresh lemonade at my fingertips. And Chef John over at Food Wishes has another way. It's like the way they do it at Coney Island. They zest the lemon and they like let it steep in sugar for I don't know how long. And it like brings out the essential oils or whatever of the lemon. That shit is legit. And I'm going to try that next. But I haven't gotten to it yet. Also make limeade. We're also having pina coladas and daiquiris. Strawberry daiquiri. Well, gee whiz, St. John Smythe, what are you, Mary? You drinking strawberry daiquiris like a queen? Yeah, well, you ever had, like, fresh Louisiana strawberries with just some lime juice and some sugar as a daiquiri and a shit ton of rum? It'll get you drunk! Also, I put those in cubes, have them in my freezer, so it's also, like, always a frozen delight on a Saturday. And I usually double the rum because it's, like, 40 ounces of non-alcoholic and, like, 4 ounces of liquor. I'm like, well, that's not enough because that's the bad part about daiquiris. You drink them and you're like, well, I'm just drinking sugar and not getting a buzz. This is not worth it. But mine, it's like 10 ounces in there. And I'm like, I'll have two. And I'm like, well, shit, I just had 14 ounces of rum. That's not good. Or is it? This is real interesting for a James Bond podcast, isn't it? Well, you know, it's called the Drunk Bond Podcast. So we do drink on this thing. And for Live and Let Die, we discuss Sazeracs, where to get them in New Orleans. What's a good drink to get in New Orleans, period. For the last one, we discussed GoldenEye, the drink, the GoldenEye, and what they have over there at that resort. And now we're discussing beach drinks, lemonade in particular. So deal with it. Maybe we'll have a little segment. The first couple minutes is dedicated to talking about alcohol. And if you're a true drunk and enjoy a quality drink, listen to me. I've tasted them all. I've done it all. And these are the best ones. So you stick with me and I'll get you there. And it's wonderful. But back to the movie at hand. We're watching The Man with the Golden Gun today. Let's just get started. We got a gun barrel and a PTS. Let's talk about that PTS. Let's talk about the pre-title sequence for this movie. We start out with Nick Knack. Oh, Nick Knack, you magnificent bastard. Walking around. I just love a henchman that looks all fucking weird. And there's nothing more weird than a goddamn midget. So we get that third nipple right off the bat from Scaramanga. I mean, first shot right out of the box. And you get a little look at his lair. I mean, this is an absolutely stupendous lair. Then we cut to the other dude that arrives that we know is for, like, the duel. And Scaramanga's, like, sunbathing with his girlfriend, Andrea, played by Maude Adams. And Maude's like, you know, you got, like, a duel in, like, 10 minutes, man. You don't want to get moving? And he's like, God damn it, Maude, I'm trying to get a base. I know I have a duel. I booked the duel. Keep drying me off. That's all. That's your job. You ever heard my song? I'll kill anyone, and that includes you. No, actually, I haven't heard your song, because this is the PTS, as in pre-title sequence, not title sequence. So no, I haven't heard your song yet. Watch that lip on you. So we cut to the duel. I like he's got a bench press in there. Scaramanga's just putting up 350 on the reg. And the guy from Diamonds Are Forever, I don't know if he's the same character or not, but it's the same actor. He's trying to kill Scaramanga. He's walking through all these weird things. He must be thinking, like, dude, why'd you build this? Honestly. I know it's cool looking and the theatrics is nice, but, like, honest to God, dude, why'd you build this? Like, how'd that even go? I'm thinking we just dangle, like, a skeleton at some point. And maybe an old saloon, like, with a mannequin shooting a gun. This must have taken years. And then, like, a jazzy rendition of my song. But it's the pre-titles and we don't know your song. Then some old gangsters come out. You mean, like, fake ones? Of course, yes, fake gangsters. And then, like, we put my gun on this black crow. Be a little crow talking to you. And we can get some wacky mirrors in here. And one more thing. Here's this picture of, like, a secret agent that I don't like. I kind of like him, but I don't like him. Go ahead and make, like, a wax figure out of him, too. All right, Mr. Francisco, I don't think I can give you what you need. So I'm gonna recommend a few of my colleagues. Yeah, he's dead now. That contractor, he gone. So Scaramanga kills the guy. I didn't realize the last time I watched it. Scaramanga's onesie has stirrups. Did you know that? He has stirrups on by his feet to keep up his onesie. You know, you don't want that sagging. You don't want it riding high. You want it to complete all the way from the ankle to the neck. That's all right. And the pre-title sequence is okay. I don't like that there's no Bond in there. My opinion has not changed there. But this is like this is a good movie for kids to start with. Like, this was a big one for me as a kid because it cuts right to the action. Like, this is The Man with the Golden Gun is the title. You instantly see the man with the golden gun, and he's in this duel with this cool little, like, funhouse. And then, like, he's got his eyes set on Bond, clearly, because you see Bond's wax figure in his funhouse. So that's pretty cool for, like, a kid. Like, oh, man, the action's already set for the end of the movie. As an adult, it's fine. I just like a big stunt, and I like Bond in it. But we wouldn't get to the big, huge pre-titles until the next movie. Still pre-Spy Who Loved Me, so they can't all be winners. So we cut to the title sequence. No one likes this song. No love for this song. I fucking love this song. Lulu, this song is stuck in my head all the time. It's one of, like, those top, this and, like, Bond 77 from The Spy Who Loved Me. All the Time in the World, for some reason, is always stuck in my head. The first few bars of You Only Live Twice is always stuck in my head. This one's a big one. Why does no one like it? You tell me that. You riddle me that. So after that, sorry about the ice clanging around. So we cut to Bond's office. M's office. We cut to Bond and M's office. What do you know about Scaramanga? Takes a second and then rattles off everything. It's just a classic, like, rattles off everything about Scaramanga that you could possibly ever know. You know he just memorized all that shit in his office right before that meeting. He was born into a circus, father a ringmaster. He was a trick shot artist. He was in the KGB. Wasn't paid enough. You know, KGB's not really known for paying people. Shocker. Ex-KGB wasn't paid well enough. An ex-Russian citizen wasn't paid well. Shocker. So he's independent, charges $1 million a hit, no photo on file. They just know he has a third nipple, and they don't know where he is. And then he's like, Bond, you know, nobody likes a know-it-all, man. So a bullet was sent to, the gold bullet was sent to MI6 with his number on it, 007, with Scaramanga's prints. Gasp. Bond's next target. They've been verified by the CIA, because we don't have the fingerprint machines yet. he takes him off his current mission with Gibson. And Bond's like, well, this is kind of important, dude. Like, you don't want me to finish it just because of this hit? And M's like, I'll endorse your resignment or you can take a sabbatical. It's like, well, hold on, man. We can't have a discussion. How's that supposed to make me feel? And Bond, like, unofficially tries to find Scaramanga. M's kind of a cunt to Bond. More on that later, but, you know. So, 002 was apparently killed by Scaramanga and Barut while fucking this dancer. So, he asked Moneypenny about it and apparently knows exactly which club to go to and which dancer to talk to about this. Or he just says, like, well, I guess I'll just bang every dancer in Beirut until I just find, till I find one that just has that musk of 002 still on her. So Bond probably banged 60, 70 belly dancers in Beirut until he finally found the right one. So Bond goes to bang the dancer and get the bullet to figure out, like, confirm that that was Scaramanga that killed him. Like, right when he walks into that girl's dressing room, she's like, yeah, I'm going to have sex with him. There's no question. And she's like, Fairbanks? Oh, that guy that got shot while I was fucking him. She's talking real casual about something that's pretty fucking traumatic. You're having sex with this guy, he's on top of you, and then a bullet goes through his neck and he dies on top of you. That's something that's like, I wouldn't be talking about, like, nicely. Like, oh yeah, he was such a nice guy. Like, no, I'd be like, oh my gosh, take a seat. Or like, I'm not ready to talk about this yet. This is some bad shit. I mean, imagine that actually happening. And then, like, why is everyone after Bond? Like, these guys are knocking on the door, trying to get in and, like, start attacking him. Right when he sits down at the club, they're like, fuck this dude. It's like, what? Why are y'all upset about him? He's just having a drink, watching the show. And Curly from the Three Stooges is furious. And then, like, towards the end of the fight, there's, like, seven more dudes knocking on the door. Like, I want a piece of this dude. Just ready to whip his ass. That's the guy. Get him. He's the guy who's been having sex with all the dancers in Beirut. Knocking them all up. So Bond beats him up. You can see the actual film crew in the mirror. How do you think that conversation went in post-production? I mean, you know they saw it. Like, yeah, that's us. That's the director's like, yeah, that's me. That's me. You want to reshoot it? Well, fuck, Roger's already, like, out of town, and Curly from the Three Stooges is, he has another, you know, show with Moe and Larry, so I can't get him back. He's under contract. Fuck it. Hopefully they don't come up with, like, home theater that you can, like, pause and go in slow motion and no one will ever realize it. Because I guarantee you no one ever realized you could see everything in the mirror until, like, 40 years later when, like, nerds couldn't get enough of it. Nerds quite like me. So anyway, he ends up shitting out the bullet later. They wipe off all the feces, all the blood, everything. And Q Branch traces the maker of the bullet to Lazar. They start talking about Lazar. And one of my favorite Q deliveries, Bond's finally like, what the hell is Lazar? And the scientist is like, not what, who, Portuguese, Macau. And Q just goes, chap who made the bullet 007. Fucking idiot. Are you not listening? It's like two scientists talking and then some morons next to him asking questions. He's like, ugh, chap who made the bullet 007. Well, dude, fuck, I don't fucking know. How the hell am I supposed to know this? I just rattled off everything about Scaramanga, and you didn't say boo. You didn't say word one. And now I don't know who Lazar is, and you make me feel like an asshole? Sorry, dude. Who's Lazar? I don't know him. Sorry. I already have these rugged good looks and everything else. Supposed to know everything? Nerd. So he goes to Macau. And finds Lazar, interrogates him. One of my favorite puns of all time when he's holding that gun and says, I'm pointing this gun precisely at your groin, so speak or forever hold your peace, is one of the best lines of all time. So Lazar breaks instantly, and he drops them off to Andrea, Maud, at the casino. And Bond follows her to Hong Kong, and he meets Goodnight and goes to Andrea's room while she's in the shower. He's got a champagne bucket. You know, he's really looking the part. Back then, like, hotel security just didn't give a shit. Bond could just always go in people's rooms like Goldfinger. And this one, he's like, oh yeah, I'm just walking in. It's a surprise. Like, oh, a surprise. Oh. And Maud points a gun at him when he comes in. Apparently she's seen the security over there and doesn't trust him either. So they start talking. Bond beats the piss out of her for information. And she has her deliver the bullets to him to find him. Tells him about the third nipple. Fascinating anatomical tidbit, but probably the most useless piece of information I've ever heard. Unless the Bottoms Up is a strip club and Scaramanga is performing there. Well, that is some talking down to a woman, and I just really appreciate it. Stop wasting my motherfucking time, dude. So we cut to the Bottom Up Club, and he's kind of standing outside. He stands right by Nick Knack. He's like, oh, it's a monster! Oh, sorry. It's just a midget. And Scaramanga kills Gibson, and Nick Knack steals the Solex from him while they're all, like, distracted. And Bond gets taken away by the police. But Lieutenant Hip, the Japanese guy or Taiwanese guy or whatever the fuck he is, taken to meet M and Q on the sunken Queen Elizabeth. And this is another fucking example of being held hostage by an ally. Not cool. I'm a trained killer. I'm going to murder you. Just tell me who you are. Oh, you're an ally? Okay, what the fuck, M? Can we stop doing this? Well, it's for the audience to build tension. What? And they realize that Gibson was shot, the guy that Bond was supposed to track down to solve the energy crisis. So he was shot, not Bond. And M's like, I wish there was a contract out on you instead of Gibson. It's like, well, how was it my fault that he got shot? Is it my fault that there was a contract on him to kill him? Because he had, like, valuable information about this? Why is everyone being so cunty to me this movie? I thought you were my friends. And they're, like, still excited, though, because they're like, all right, we have the Solex, though. Can we see it? And Hip's like, it wasn't there after he died. You might want to check into that monster I saw roaming around the streets. And Bob's like, how about that guy? Creepy. Well, lock him up for being different than me. I don't like it. So anyways, like, I'm going to go pose as Scaramanga to this guy called High Fat. They deduce that he might be able to have afforded the $1 million to knock off Gibson. And he writes down what he needs for Q, which is the third nipple. So what do you think was on the... He's like, I'll need this, Q. And he writes it down on a piece of paper. And the piece of paper just says, nipple. I'm gonna need a nipple. And then we cut back and forth between that and Scaramanga rubbing his gun all over Maud, which is just so demoralizing and great. Well, I tell you, something I miss about the 70s, all the poo brown everywhere. You got poo brown bar, furniture, sheets, bed, bar stools, fur, wood siding, carpet, chair, everything. Everything is poo brown. And that gold bullet turned poo brown after Bond swallowed it. Anyway, he gets to High Fat's lair. And he sees this girl in the water chew me. And he's like, well, fuck it. I'm just going to have sex with this person. Skinny dip. And High Fat's like, what are you doing here? That's my prostitute, not yours. But he's got the third nipple from Q Branch. So he's like, oh, Scaramanga. How about that? I wish High Fat would have showed up like 5 minutes later and he's just impossibly inside Chew Me in the pool and they're just railing to death. And he's like, what the fuck is this? Why is this happening at my house? What are you doing here? So High Fat invites him to dinner. He must have found me quite titillating. And Scaramanga's already at High Fat, so I guess there goes that theory from earlier that they've never seen him. So there that night, going to dinner, he gets in Lieutenant Hip's car. Hope you don't, and there's two young girls in the back seat. Hope you don't mind giving my nieces a lift. Oh, they're your nieces. I can't explain how glad I am that you said something, because I was about to really, I just assumed we were tag teaming them within seconds. They're 15, are they? Okay. Well, again, I'm very glad you said something, because things are about to get a little weird.
I'm going to need a minute to just, like, mentally kind of regroup from what I was about to do. He walks in the car like, well, guess I'm having sex with 15-year-old girls tonight. Oh, and they're your nieces. All right. Well, boy, this is a strange place.
So he gets to dinner. These sumo wrestlers attack him instantly. and Nick Knack. Nick Knack knocks him out. Nick Knack, try saying that five times fast. Nick Knack knocks him out before Nick Knack can kill him. Bond's sent to that ninja school. I would have really liked to see Nick Knack actually murder another human with a trident. With his shirt off, which, you know, I didn't really need to see. A midget with a shirt off. But while he has his shirt off, I might as well watch him murder someone with a trident. But we don't get to see that. So they send him to a ninja fight, which is one of my favorite scenes of the whole movie. Bond wakes up with those women bathing him. And he gets to watch for a while. Watch these two ninjas just fight each other to the death. Savages. And he has to fight the first dude who, while he bows, Bond just kicks him in the fucking head. And I guess kills him. I mean, that nose bone, whatever, it goes straight to his brain. He gone. I tell you, Bond might have broke a toe on that dude's skull. I'm going to get that checked out. I'm going to get an x-ray there. Those little tiny bones might have gotten broken. And then this other dude, Craw, whatever that guy's name is, Bond whips his ass. And then he jumps out the window and all the ninjas come out. And it's Hip and the two little nieces. And we got to do the cliche of like, step back, girls. Let a man handle this. And then the girls, oh my gosh, gasp. The girls are more stronger than the man. And they just start whipping everyone's ass. Like, we're actually supposed to believe that two 15-year-old girls that weigh 105 pounds can beat 40 ninjas at once. I understand they've had training. I'm sure they're wonderful at karate for girls. But I don't know. If 106-pound girl attacks me, I just like my chances. I like my chances. You can call her fat. That works. And if that doesn't work and they get madder, it might be a little tough. But you can pin them down at some point when they start flailing about. So I'm not really buying that all these two girls can beat all these girls up. But hey, you know, you got to do what you got to do. Women's lib. It's the 70s, you know? So they beat all the ninjas and then they get into Hip's car with her two nieces. And Bond opens the door for them and then goes around and they just leave him. And this has been talked about to death by fans. But why do they leave him? I mean, it'd be one thing to be like, oh, I thought he closed the door and he's in. But he's not in. And they're like yelling and screaming in Taiwanese or whatever language they're talking. And they're probably saying, hey, dude. He's not in the car. He's right behind us. Stop the car. We left him. And Hip's like, oh, fuck it. I'm already driving, though. So, no. Look, what the fuck, man? So, he just steals this boat, live and let die style. And they have another boat chase with all the ninjas and all that shit. Wonderful boat chase throughout wherever they are, Taiwan or difficult to say. Korea. I don't know where they are. I was going to look all this up. Part of me was going to look this up, but then part of me just wasn't that interested. Thailand, maybe. Maybe Thailand. So Bond's haggling with this kid, too, who wants to sell him an elephant. Bond throws him off the boat. The kid instantly catches dysentery. We have a river like that around where I live, and I just assume anyone who puts their big toe in it catches dysentery. So you know that that little kid, I mean, he's dead by the end of the day. You can't go in that water. It's disgusting. It's brown. So during the boat chase, he splashes J.W. Pepper from the last movie. Why he's there, you know, that's been talked about to death by people, but, you know, who knows. So anyway, Bond gets away, runs through their boat because it's made of, like, styrofoam and paper, and Bond gets away. So we cut to Scaramanga, but before that, let's pause for a little advertisement. Same advertisement as the last time. Blackout Bar and Grill. And this part of this actually goes to our parent company now. So, you know, I don't get all this cheese anymore. But I'll do it nonetheless. Blackout Bar and Grill. Want to feel what it's like when your engine runs, but no one's behind the wheel? Come to Blackouts. Tired of the bartender saying that's enough? Well, don't worry, because there are no bartenders. So that means no pesky lines. Worried about getting thrown out? Well, at Blackouts, there's no staff either. Home of the finest egg salad in town. Blackout Bar and Grill. How black is too black? And they wanted to let y'all know that due to physical violence, shit-faced Mondays have been canceled. Well, you hate to see that. You hate to see that. But, you know, that's why we can't have nice things when people take advantage. So Scaramanga walks into High Fat's office, and he's had just about enough. He's already assembling his gun. He says you want a cigarette or you want... He has something in his hand, one of the parts of his golden gun. But he's like, dude, I'm through fucking around with you. And just starts assembling his gun while High Fat's talking to him. High Fat's talking mad shit to Scaramanga and doesn't notice that he's like assembling his infamous golden gun. At no point is he like, hey, what you doing there, bud? You taking your cufflink off? Your cigarette case? Or your pin? Oh, I see what you're doing. Oh, that's a gun. Okay. Then he hops too once he finally fucking figures out on the seventh step what the hell is about to happen. So, High Fat, he gone. And I love that line from Scaramanga. Mr. Fat has just resigned. I'm the new chairman of the board. It was his dying wish, I promise. And takes the Solex with him. Whatever that Solex does, who the fuck knows. So, back at the hotel, Bond a good night, a nice little date. Bond drinking that foo, yuck. Everything that I get at a restaurant or anywhere, and I don't really know quite what it is, I always look at it and say, foo, yuck. So, he's giving Goodnight his best, his A game.
It's full court press on Mary Goodnight.
And she's like, I want to, James. Really, I do. I'm tempted. But, and as she says, but, Bond's already at the bar talking to some other girl. And by the time she finishes her sentence, he's already walking back to his room. But no. So they go back to the room. And of course, Goodnight's like, yeah, I was trying to impress you. And Bond's like, I don't care if you're impressive or if you're not impressive. You don't have to. If you reject me or if you take me, I don't care. I feel the same way about you. I just want to have sex with you and it's it. So they're about to do the deed. And Maud comes in, knocks on the door, and says she sent the bullet to come and kill... sent the bullet to MI6 so that Bond would come kill Scaramanga. She wants out. Save me. And she'll give him the Solex in return. And he's like, you could just come away with me and hide. And she's like, there's no place he wouldn't find me. And Bond's like, well, really? Would he find you on this? Oh, yeah. But yeah, he probably would find me there too. So they just start fugging. He's like, hey, Goodnight, get in the closet, like while Maud's changing in the bathroom into like that sexy lingerie or whatever she's wearing, a robe. So Goodnight goes back into the closet. And much like all of us, Goodnight needs a noise machine to go to sleep. And her noise machine is this. Sweet dreams and good night. So hours later, after he's just banged her beyond recognition, he gets her out of the closet and he's like, don't worry, darling, your time will come. Boy, that is a line. So she's not too, you know, pleased with it all, but, you know, that's her problem now. That's not Bond's problem. So they go to the kickboxing match to meet Maud. I guess to get the Solex. Get the Solex. Sits down next to her, talks to her for a while, notices there's a fucking bullet wound in her chest. And she gone. And then he realizes Scaramanga sitting next to him. A mistress cannot serve two masters. A difficult shot, but most gratifying. Scaramanga is just fantastic. Is he not? Fantasto Scaramanga. So, Maud, she gone, but she'll be back. That'd be another fun letter to write her family. Dear Ma and Pa Anders, we regret to inform you that your daughter was killed by a golden bullet to the tit. You see, Mr. and Mrs. Anders, a mistress cannot serve two masters. And your daughter learned that the hard way. She got caught up in high-stakes assassin for hire / energy crisis game. And you gotta have your head on a swivel to juggle those two. So, I'm sorry for your loss. I'm sorry. Here's some flowers. So Bond sees a Solex on the ground, gives it to Lieutenant Hip, who's selling peanuts or whatever, and he gives it to Goodnight. Horrible decision, because Goodnight's a fucking idiot. I don't know what her qualifications are. Is she an agent? Is she a secretary? How do they know each other? What is she in this whole thing? That's their best gal they can send out to Thailand, is Goodnight? There's no one else available in MI6? This is one of the few times they send an MI6 person out there to help. You know? Q occasionally. I mean, but he'll see Felix. He'll see, you know, your contact in this country, but never an MI6 person. I don't know why she's even there. She's useless. It's like Moneypenny in the field. God bless Moneypenny, but she wouldn't be very good doing this kind of shit. She'd lose the Solex too. Although she'd probably be more professional about it. Wouldn't fall to pieces once Bond didn't want to bang her. So anyway, she follows Scaramanga, doing what she shouldn't do. There's no reason to follow Scaramanga or Nick Knack. You have the Solex, you're good. But she does it anyway and gets thrown in the fucking trunk. And Scaramanga is rightfully just so pleased with himself for doing that. So Bond's looking for him, steals this car from a showroom, and inexplicably, J.W. Pepper is in the car, test driving a car in Thailand. Well, why is J.W. vacationing in Thailand? You know, forget the whole, like, why is he test driving a car there? Why is he even in Thailand? That kind of person, I'm from Louisiana. Those kind of people don't give a shit about what's going on in Thailand. They're going to Florida, okay? They're going to Mexico. They're going to Destin or Gulf Shores or Biloxi. That's as foreign as it gets for them. They're not even going to New York. They're certainly not going to California. They might go to Texas. They might go to Galveston. But they wouldn't be caught fucking dead in Thailand. So J.W. Pepper, that hick, and his wife, those two Cajuns, they ain't going to Thailand. But I guess it makes for a nice reunion. You know, I love J.W. Pepper from Live and Let Die. You know, not a big fan of him in this movie. Could have done without him. But, you know, he has a couple of fun lines. And I like the good-natured racist jokes made at their expense. Yeah, that's always fun, but I won't beat that horse to death just because everyone else has. Why would he be there? Why would he be driving this car? But, you know. So, pretty good car chase ensues. He's driving the, what was it, AMC? American Motor Vehicle? American Motor Cars, whatever. And he does that fucking fantastic stunt when it corkscrews over that lake. And apparently they did this in one take, which is just so impressive. They're like, the math adds up, bro. Just step on it. And he's like, all right, well, I guess I'll just die. But obviously, it is just destroyed by that slide whistle. I just don't understand who thought that was a good idea. You have one of the, if you're just talking about like just a physical stunt, one of the top three stunts they ever do in any Bond movie. Ever. This is so impressive and awesome. And they just, you put that slide whistle over it. And John Barry was even like, yeah, that was bad. Like, but I want to know more. I want to know who thought that was okay. Who brought that up and who said, oh, yeah, that's, yeah. Maybe a slide whistle's missing. No, dude, nothing's missing. Motherfucker. So, anyway, they go with, like, his little shed, Scaramanga and Nick Knack, and his car turns into, like, a plane. And they escape and fly away, and the car doesn't. Maybe like a 90 degree angle. It increases elevation so fast. It's like, well, you'd all die. This clearly has to be a model work, right? So they lost him. And Bond goes back to meet with him. And he tracks them with Goodnight's homing device to the island. And Q's going on about his car with wings. Car with wings is perfectly feasible, sir. They're just not using it right. Shut up, Q. Tells Q to shut up twice. And Bond's like, see, Q? Not so nice when someone else is a cunt. What do you mean, 007? Lazar! You think I forgot? You think I forgot about that tone you took with me? Earlier? Chap who made the bullet, 007. Yeah, that was you. I haven't forgotten. I've had enough of you pushing me around.
So Scaramanga was just
they go to his island, and Scary Mango's just like straight up happy to see Bond. Wonderful, wonderful. Right when he shows up, motherfucker is offered some champagne and just a bullet goes whizzing by. Scaramanga shoots the bottle open. That's not cool. That's no way to treat your guest. He said he couldn't resist, but I mean, try to. It's a guest. You seem like a pretty good host. Shouldn't be doing that. It's not legal. Can't break out a firearm just because you think it's funny. A lot of people have been shot for that. So he shows him his lab and his lair. I just love a villain explaining his whole plan to Bond. It's just such a old school Bond movie technique, the exposition. And that big room, his lab, the one where Craw is in, or Reggie Jackson, kind of reminds me of Dr. No's lab. What do you think about that? What do you think about that thing, that observation I just made to you? And he shows him the whole lab. He's selling the technology to the highest bidder to have solar energy monopoly. Either that or the oil people will pay him to keep it off the market. So he's got it all figured out, clearly. And Bond's asking him about, like, the technology. It reflects the sun? Yeah, something like that. I don't really know how this works. It's fun, though, isn't it? So you're the greatest assassin in the world, $1 million a hit. And you say, you figured, what the hell? I'll just decide to get into the energy game. I mean, everyone needs a side hustle, I guess, but that's some high-stakes shit, man. Just stick with what you do. He'll wish he stuck to the assassin game. Because it doesn't end well for Scaramanga. Spoiler alert! So then shows him his energy beam and just destroys Bond's plane. That's not cool. That's not nice. Thought they were friends. They were acting friendly. Everything seemed nice. And he has lunch with Scaramanga and Goodnight's back. Looking phenomenal in a bikini. Having fun in the sun, Goodnight. Yes, I could stay here forever. And she's like, they've raped me. All of them, they've raped me. Craw, Scaramanga, even Nick Knack. So much rape. Who's Craw? The black guy with the afro. Oh, you mean Reggie Jackson? Keeps going on about the rape. Tell you what, Goodnight. I just hear a lot of complaining here. That's all I hear. I told you to wait your turn earlier. And one more word, I'm getting back on my prop plane and I'm flying back to England. You know, I don't need this shit. Energy crisis, giant fucking Honey, I Shrunk the Kids laser, blowing up my plane, golden gun funhouse, midgets. Not to mention the shit that I've been dealing with before this. Sumo wrestlers and belly dancers and sheriff from Louisiana, wherever the fuck that is. Boat rides, ninjas. I don't need this shit, man. So shut the fuck up. One more word and I'll get out of here and tell these psychopaths to do with you whatever they may. Got it, lady? See, they have a nice little toast. To us, Mr. Bond, we are the best. Well, I hope someone toasts me that way one day. We are the best. Yes, we are the best. And then he challenges him to a duel. So as soon as we enjoy this delicious lunch, Nick Knack is prepared for us. I'm very hungry. I've never been this hungry. My pre-duel appetite. So they start the showdown. It's the only true way to do battle. You don't think it helps that you know every square inch of this place, and I don't know a thing? You have like 10 things to trick people, and I don't know any of them. So, is that fair? That's not cool. Why do I have to come here to do this? Like, why does everyone have to travel to Scaramanga's island to duel him? And if they kill him, then what happens? Like, they... Like that original guy from the pre-title sequence. What happened if he'd have killed Scaramanga? He'd gotten, like, a cut from Nick Knack? Who knows, man. They don't really go into detail about that. So... They start dueling. Reggie Jackson starts looking at Goodnight like she's a damn T-bone. Yeah, why don't we turn that pesky radio off? Looking at her like she's a BP fastball in October. Nick Knack starts helping Bond out. Sees a mannequin of himself. He's like, fucking creep? Why the fuck is this here? He goes a different direction. Really throws him for a loop. And poses as a mannequin. Kills Scaramanga. Rough to see him go, but, you know, that happens. And then Goodnight throws Reggie Jackson in the frozen shit. Fucks up the balance or whatever. Goes out of control. And Bond gets the Solex before everything explodes. And they escape on Scaramanga's boat. Those explosions were coming a little close to Goodnight. Apparently, behind the scenes, like, that shit was... Like, once they start the explosion, they say action. You gotta... I mean, boogie. Because they're not going to pause for you. So you have to, like, get moving. And you can see them, like, lagging behind. Goodnight falls down at one point. Or they both do. Goodnight lags behind. At one point, you see the explosion, like, fuck up her hair. That's no joke. And Roger's like, ah, fuck it. Like, it's not my problem. So they get on Scaramanga's boat. Should be in Hong Kong in 8 hours. Looks like you could use 8 hours of hot dicking. James, as I've said before, I've been raped unmercifully the last couple days. I don't think my 90-pound body is up to it. So what's the matter? You've been raped a couple dozen times? Big deal. So the knick-knack attacks. That's always fun. Goodnight's just getting it good from James, and she just looks up, and and knick-knack's just on the ceiling. And she's like, it's a monster! Puts him in a suitcase. That's just a fun fight. Just fighting with a midget. That's just fun. Bang, Goodnight. She's just coming, sir. And we have end credits. There's the man with the golden gun. There's your movie. That's your full size. That's your big boy. That's the man with the golden gun. Got bad reviews upon release. Really horrible box office. And all kind of behind the scenes shit. And this almost made this the last Bond movie. Harry Saltzman left after this. They didn't know if they can keep going. This was a crossroads in the Bond history. Obviously, we know that it kept going and all went well. But does it deserve this bad reputation? I don't think so. I love this movie. Like, my favorites growing up were Live and Let Die and The Man with the Golden Gun. And I just figured, like, well, if you liked it as a kid, then you're going to love it as an adult. Just because, like, that's sentimental value. But no, I don't like Live and Let Die nearly as much as I did when I was a kid. But yet, Man with the Golden Gun, for some reason, I love this movie still. I find it to be, with Tomorrow Never Dies, I find them to be the most underrated Bond movies. They get so overlooked. Scaramanga is, top two or three villains ever. He's on Mount Rushmore. Knick Knack, come on. Who doesn't love him? Roger's good in it. He'll be better in the next one. I think he kind of finds it in Spy Love Me and is excellent throughout the rest of the time. Goodnight's fine. If those feminists ever have a complaint about how the girls are just useless and don't do anything, which is not really the case if you go through every Bond movie, even the first one, like Honey was a tough girl, Rosa Klebb, Pussy, Domino, there's an argument there. Even, what's her name? Aki, she's an agent. Tracy, they all have tough women. They've been known for it since the beginning. Goodnight, I'll give you that one. But is it horrible to just have a girl that's kind of useless and just really hot? Is that such a crime? But Andrea is not. Maud's fantastic, and thank Christ they bring back Maud. Goddamn love her. Like I said, not a big fan on JW coming back, but they can't all be winners, man. You can't have everything in one movie. And the score, John Barry said that this is his worst score. I think I like it. I love the song. And then the song is just basically repeated the rest of the movie in this Asian way. So maybe it's kind of lazy, but I enjoy it. But speaking of lazy, the plot, it's basically just Bond knows that the man with the golden gun is coming for him. And they just kind of throw in at the last minute the whole solar energy thing. It seems almost kind of lazy, but whatever. I'm sure there are other examples of more lazy shit in Bond movies, so who knows. So yeah, watch it again. Let me know what you think. That's all I got. It's over. I'm at the beach with my family. I'm watching them play on the beach right now while I'm inside riling off about this bullshit. So get off me. Next time we'll do maybe Goldfinger. Or Dr. No, might do a Connery movie next. I don't know. Not sure. And go follow, what is it, The Last of the Action Heroes Podcast Network, whatever, on Twitter. They got a bunch of shit on there. Figure it out, man. Just go look at it. Or don't. Hire me or fire me. It's completely up to you.
Good night, good night. Sleep well. Oh, love. want to get rid of someone.